Gird your loins and light your lamps. What are these lamps but the light of faith? The light of faith that shines until the Son of Justice appears again. Faith. We hear a lot about it. We speak about our faith. In the Eucharistic prayer, we call Abraham our father in faith. Right after the homily, we make a profession of faith in the Creed. And after the consecration of the body and blood, we declare the mystery of faith. But faith itself, what is it? What is it? Our Catholic faith gives us many tools to become saints, and we just need to know how to use them. I haven't seen The Crown. I've heard it's good, so that might disprove what I'm about to say, but imagine if Queen Elizabeth walked into a mechanic's garage. She would be surrounded by tools, but she wouldn't know how to use them. They would be totally useless. Our faith, Catholic faith, gives us these tools. We need to know how to put them to work. We have the grace of the sacraments. We have the scriptures, Eucharistic adoration, the rosary, holy water, and other sacramentals. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that are poured out upon us in our confirmation. We have the virtues. These are all tools that God gives us to become saints. So let's put them to work. Where does faith fit in to these tools? Faith is a virtue. It's one of the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, that we often hear when we go to weddings. And we heard the classic definition of faith in our second reading today. It's the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Or, more commonly, as it's said in the Catechism, it's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And that's great. That's great. But still, what is it? It's descriptive and it's nice, but really, does it help us say exactly what it is? Faith is the virtue that transforms our minds and allows us to cling to God. That's what it is. It's a virtue that transforms our minds, that we can cling to God, that we can agree to what isn't clear to us, that we can agree to what's not evident. We cannot wrap our minds around God. He is too big for us. But in our baptism, we receive this virtue of faith that opens our minds to Him. It expands our minds. It expands our vision. And this is important. It's a virtue of the mind. Right? It's important because our intellect is how we're made in God's image. Our reason is the reason we resemble God. It lifts us above the strictly material world, and it sets us apart from all the other animal species. And so God gives us this special grace in an area where we are totally unique so that we can cling to Him. Just a brief word about faith as a virtue. A virtue is a habit, and you gain any habit, good or bad, by doing things that build it. By choosing to go on a run or by choosing to pick your nose, for good or ill, repeated actions make a habit. So the virtue of faith grows in us through these repeated actions of prayer, prayer where we turn to God, and repeated acts of charity. Charity, how we resemble God, who is love. But like a muscle, it can also atrophy. It can grow, but it can atrophy. attitudes or actions that go against faith. And the most extreme of these are things like heresy, which is knowing and willfully rejecting truths of the faith. Or apostasy, completely rejecting God. Right? Those clearly will kill faith in us. But that's not really, hopefully, a danger for most of us. For most of us, our struggles with faith is something more subtle. Usually maybe something like doubt or pride. Doubt, it can be involuntary. Right? We don't want to, but there's just something that makes it difficult to believe. And it's in these moments that we remember what Blessed John Henry Newman said. 10,000 difficulties do not make a single doubt. And it's in these moments that we cry out with the Father in the Gospel, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The greater danger to our growing in faith is not doubt, but it's pride. Because pride hardens our hearts and elevates us thinking that we know more than the faith. We elevate our personal liberty above the faith that we receive. And this is an especially common temptation in our current culture that places such an emphasis on liberty. And it's in these moments that we have to pray to God asking for humility and for childlike trust. Faith, how do we grow in it? The virtue of faith has, we can say, three levels. And a lot of spiritual authors will talk about kind of different steps in the spiritual life. And I don't think that it's helpful to try to pinpoint where you're at. If you're reading, I don't know, someone like Teresa of Avila, you know, and she has her various mansions. It's not helpful necessarily to pinpoint, I'm here. Because we can deceive ourselves. But it is good to have kind of a broad view of things so that we know, where am I now? And where was I a year ago? Where do I want to be? To have the broad vision. So faith has levels. And the first is simply, I believe in God. I believe that God exists. Right, this is just the first step. Right? And we can believe that God exists without a supernatural faith. We can know that God exists through our reason, through philosophical logic. And even St. James, in his letter, says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe this and tremble. To believe that God exists is just the first step in faith. But God doesn't want to remain distant. He's not the divine watchmaker that many of our founding fathers said, who created the universe, set it in motion, and leaves it be. He created you that you may know him. He created you because he loves you. And he wants you to love him. So we have to move beyond the simple fact that God exists. And we move to the second level. Not just that I believe in God, but that I believe God. I trust him. And I trust what he says. Now, this does take a supernatural faith beyond what we can do on our own. This does take the faith that we receive in our baptism. And this is usually the level of faith that people mean when they talk about making a leap of faith. To trust God. God made promises to us, and he's faithful. As we hear about Abraham receiving Isaac, the son of the promise. This faith allows us to accept what God has revealed, because we trust him. This faith allows us to accept what the church teaches, even when it's difficult, because God created the church, and we trust God. But in this too, God can stay distant. In this level of faith, God can seem like a safety net, or like guardrails on the side of a road. He can remain distant, but we trust him. He's out there. He'll catch us if we fall, but he's there. And that's not enough, brothers and sisters. It's not enough. We're selling ourselves short if this is where we stop. God made us to be in relationship with him. And our faith grows as we grow more childlike in the arms of our loving Father. And this is what we prayed in our collect this morning, in our opening prayer this morning. We prayed, "Bring to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you promised." Right, this final level of faith could be phrased, "I believe into God." I believe into God. It's a faith that you place in someone you love, in your parents, in your spouse, but more so than in any human person, because we're all prone to fall from time to time. But God is faithful. It's the faith born of love. It's the faith born of a relationship. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," as Jesus says on the cross. This is the level of faith that sustains us in dark times, because it's born from love, because it's born from this relationship. And this is the faith that allows St. Claude de la Colombière to pray, "I know, alas, I know but too well that I'm frail and inconstant. I know the power of temptation against the strongest virtue. I've seen stars fall from the firmament and the pillars of heaven collapse. But these things alarm me not, because I hope in you, that while I hope in you, I'm sheltered from all misfortune. And I'm sure that my trust shall endure, because I rely on you to sustain this unfailing hope." That's the faith talking about. And that's the faith we hear about in our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews today. And it's the faith that we profess in the Creed. "God, I trust you because I love you, and because you love me. And I know you love me because you gave your very Son for me. So how can I doubt that you give me what is good? How can I doubt that you will give me what I need when you've already given your Son? To the God who shines a light in our darkness, who feeds our faith, be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen."